Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're midway through our first show of the work week, heading into the first day of April, the first full week of April, which is crazy. Birthday week for my family. Actually, for, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 members of my family. It's a big birthday week, so lots of packages to get in the mail. Oh, no, I'm having flashbacks, as in, like, PTSD from the wedding flowers barely making it to Texas on time, being 3 weeks in the mail. And I swore I would never use the post office again to send a package. And here comes my challenge. I'm going to have to make my way to another shipping organization to send my niece's birthday gift. So yeah, big birthday week. I've also got two of my very close friends from college who have birthdays this week as well. So looking forward to ushering in birthday spring. That's what I call it. It's a birthday. It's the birthday portion of spring. I hope that you enjoyed your Easter and your Resurrection Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, mixing in basketball and baseball and also family and friends and being able to teach my own kiddos at church on Sunday. Actually, Friday as well for Good Friday. And then a couple of services on Sunday morning. And they're great. Some of them dressed up in their absolute finest. You know what I did for my kids? They laughed. I had a photo on my fridge. It's in my Bible now, but I had a photo that is one of my most cherished photos of my brother and I when we were growing up. It is 4-year-old Amy and 3-year-old Matthew dressed up in clothes that my mother made for us on Easter Sunday when we were toddlers. Oh my gosh, we're so cute. And so I took it to show my kiddos on Friday, Good Friday, and asked them if they were going to be dressing up for Easter too. And then a bunch of them came in. The little boys are wearing ties and coats. The girls are dressed up in skirts, even the tomboys that hardly ever wear skirts. And some of them are wearing frilly dresses and bright colors. And it was just really cute to see them all and to be able to spend a little time with them on Sunday, as well as a neighbor that went to church with us. And Bob and I wanted to do an Easter dinner. He's never missed an Easter before with his family, so this was the first time, although we're family, but a smaller family unit. And so we got a ham. I get this text on Friday afternoon. He went to the grocery store to get the ham. And he said to me, we can get a 2-pound ham without the brown sugar glaze for $15. Or we can get a 9-pound ham with the sugar glaze for $15. I kind of looked at it and I was like, what's the question? get more meat for the same amount of money. And he said, but it's 9 pounds of ham. Whatever. We'll freeze it.
Has
we'll
that
eat
been
it.
An issue?
No, more not ham? For, not for me. Right. And I don't eat ham a ton, which I guess is why he was asking me. I really don't eat a lot of pork. I'll eat sausages every now and then, but for the most part, I'm not a big pork fan, except for honey ham on Easter with the brown sugar glaze. Oh, I don't know how many of you had that on Sunday, but it's delicious. So we now have three freezer bags stuffed full of ham, but we gorged ourselves on ham. We had ham and then we had vegetables, and we each had one helping of vegetables and two or three helpings of ham.
Ham's very versatile. Oh, from the morning, so the eggs and breakfast, the true. And lunch and a sandwich.
We can. Night. And so he put two of the bags in the freezer and one big bag in the fridge. So I'm sure that's what I'll be eating for breakfast with my eggs come Monday morning when I get home from work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so to give you a little more reaction to this LA Times article, I've told you my thoughts. I do think there's inherent sexism in it, and I do think that I can understand why there would be others who would see it as racist as well. The whole milk and cookies, the good versus evil, I don't know that the writer intended it to be racist, but he certainly made some comments that there's no way you can explain around in terms of their sexism. And honestly, as I read it, it felt much more of an opportunity to take stabs at Kim Mulkey. It felt much more about Kim than it did about her team, but kind of saying, hey, Kim's attitude and Kim's aggressive approach, that's now filtered down to her team, and look at what her superstar does, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, Angel Reese was asked about the LA Times article as well.
This isn't the worst that has happened to us this season. I mean, if you've been keeping up, you know way more things have come our way. So just add another thing to the book, another thing to the list. So we're not distracted. We're still focused on the main goal, and that's to win one game at a time.
I will say that is true. Remember, we still don't know exactly what happened, but she was away from the team for four games earlier in the season, if you remember, and coach would not give any reasons why Angel Reese wasn't around. There's all kinds of speculation about suspension or something else she got into, but she was away from the team too, and they are certainly, I wouldn't say they shy away from controversy, but they certainly always seem to be in the middle of it. And honestly, I do think it's because of how aggressive they are and how Kim allows her players to have personality. It was the same way at Baylor. They've got big, bold personalities. She is not intimidated by players who outshine her or have personalities as stubborn and aggressive and bold and brash as she is. She doesn't care. She's okay with them being who they are. And I think if you compare it to, say, some of the different men's teams and the men's coaches, right? Regardless of sport, where guys trash talk, and you think about Mike Tomlin, he's described as a player's coach, right? He lets them be who they are. And he's not the only one. I'm just picking that. They can have big personalities and they can do their thing on social media, but as long as they come to work, he's good with that. As long as they are professional when they're working, he's okay with that. And she is no different. She does not care about their personalities. In fact, she maybe even recruits brash, bold personalities that she can identify with. And they are that way. And they talk smack when they win. And if you were with us last hour, you heard what Angel Reese had to say about Caitlin Clark, right? And very often we can take the persona of athletes on the field, the court, the ice, and just assume that's who they are and how they are all the time. And misconceptions get formed that way.
It's fun. I have somebody to go back and forth with. A lot of times some players don't even say anything back, so it's no fun. But I know me and Kayla will go at it, if anything. Just out of competition, though. She wants to win. I want to win. And we're both just two great players that want to compete.
Yeah, you're never going to hear a writer or read a writer or hear someone describe a men's team who trash talks as dirty anything or evil. I mean, we use the term, you know, villains when it comes to sports, and that one I think is okay in terms of like pro sports because they get paid to play a game. But Kim Mulkey makes a great point in that these are young women. Some of them are teenagers. They're kids playing basketball. And while some of them may go on to the pro level, the fact that it's entertaining and fans get really into it doesn't excuse what we get so often on social media, which is people attacking what are essentially kids. I can't stand the fact that in many cases, they'll read social media and they have to read the things that are written about them that are so hard, that can be so painful. These are whether it's young men or young women, right, who may get death threats or people ripping them for how they performed in a game. And they're teenagers in some cases. So think about it. If you have daughters or sons, in my case, nieces, and I'm so thankful that my nieces really are not interested in social media much at all, because these are years in which, you know, young people absorb a lot of what is said about them, and they can be insecure, and they can care about what people think and say about them. And it's a hard place to be when you're a college athlete, and those two roads kind of intersect where the games are on national TV, and that is good for women's college basketball. That's what the coaches want. That's what the players want. But you then kind of run into this element of higher profile and more attention then brings out the commentary, if you will. And we know that social media is largely a cesspool. I mean, that's what it is. And this particular article, in addition to being clickbait, to me is very clearly attacking Kim Mulkey and then kind of filtering on down. But it's not only sexist, it certainly comes across as racist in some cases. And then you hear some of the other LSU players kind of respond. Now, Haley Van Lith, I saw her sitting. Now, this was an interview that she did at her locker, but I saw her sitting right next to Angel Reese as they were kind of previewing what's to come in this game against Iowa on Monday night. And she even says that, you know, she gets treated differently as a white player versus some of her teammates who are black, like Angel Reese.
We do have a lot of black women on this team. We do have a lot of people that are from different areas. And unfortunately, you know, that bias does exist still today. And a lot of the people that are making those comments are being racist towards my teammates. And, you know, I'm in a unique situation where I see it with myself, you know. I'll talk trash and I'll get a different reaction than if Angel talks trash. And so it's really up to me to, you know, it's not up to me, but I have a duty to my teammates to have their back. Some of the words that were used in that article were very sad and upsetting. And, you know, I actually didn't want us to read the article before the game, because hearing stuff like that, it's not right. And it's not that type of description of us isn't always motivating.
Now, you women sit there and you keep your mouth shut if you won't. I'm in the last third of my career, but I'm not going to let sexism continue. And if you don't think that's sexism, then you're in denial. How dare people attack kids like that? You don't have to like the way we play. You don't have to like the way we trash talk. You don't have to like any of that. We're good with that. But I can't sit up here as a mother and a grandmother and a leader of young people and allow somebody to say that.
I don't always agree with what Kim says when she has a microphone in front of her face, but I respect her to the hilt, because ultimately she is training up young women and she is a role model. She's compassionate and she's kind. Now, she's intense. And what you see of her on the court with the flamboyant outfits, again, this is what I'm talking about. She's not afraid to recruit players who are as flamboyant and brash and bold as she is. And that's okay. And in fact, maybe she thinks they're more prepared for the stage that they will be on. But she, you know, she's okay with being who she is and not conforming to whatever standard there might be. So with her outfits that have feathers on them, and she marches up and down the sidelines, right? And she has readily admitted, I've heard her, she's done it to me, say, I lose my mind when I'm on the sidelines. I don't even know who that is half the time. And then to have that persona that gets so criticized, and it does, but for people to not see past that and to recognize the giant heart and how dedicated she is to her craft, not to mention to her family. So if you get to know her, you scratch beneath the surface, there's a lot more there. And that certainly does apply to athletes, including Angel Reese. No human being is so one-dimensional that the only thing you see of them on the field, the court, the ice, that tells their entire story. It does not. Trash talking is a part of the game in really every sport. And while I would say that with the advent of more women's college basketball, more women's sports on TV, maybe you're seeing it more now on the national stage. Gosh, when I played, there were plenty of people who trash talked. That was a long time ago. Who cares? As long as you're still within the rules, as long as you're not using inappropriate language, it's going to get you teed up. Now, LSU and South Carolina, remember their last game in the SEC, there was the fight. That's not a good look for women's college basketball. But trash talk? Who cares? Talk is just talk. What is it used for? To get into your opponent's head? That's what it's used for. How many men and women at the pro level use... Diana Taurasi was a world-class trash talker. How many women use it, or women and men use it at the pro level as a way to try to gain a psychological advantage? I mean, Draymond Green, right? Now, he carries it too far a lot of times, but we could go on and on. Steph Curry's a trash talker too. Larry Bird, my all-time favorite athlete, insane trash talker. Kobe Bryant, how many people love Kobe Bryant? Trash talker. I've seen Sabrina Ionescu trash talk. Right? I mean, it's part of the game. And yet, for some reason, there's a different standard. So I appreciate Kim and what she has to say. And also, asking that maybe you hear what other people say about her. Her players are, most of them, not all of them, of course, because it's not going to be the case with every coach, but many of them are so dedicated to her and love her to death and are so thrilled to have played with her. Flau J. Johnson obviously was part of their championship last year. Her mom is Kia Brooks, and she actually raves about Kim and that she would trust her with her daughter anytime.
I've met Coach Mokey. Everything Coach Mokey told me, or everything I asked her about my kid, she kept it real. You know what I'm saying? And when Flau J says she's an OG, to be able to navigate the different situations that may come with players and parents and coaching and being a coach and just dealing with so much. And I trust her with my kid. Honestly, I do, because she's not going to baby Flau J. She's going to make her a woman. When she leave here, she's going to be a woman. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I respect that, because I'm not easy on Flau. You know, I was hard on her. Like, anything you want in life, you got to go get it. You got to go fight for it. It's a million kids out here trying to do what you're doing. So what's going to separate you?
I appreciate that. If ultimately sports are about preparing, and this is young people, not people who pay or who play for money, pros, but if sports are ultimately about helping to prepare young people for real life, I mean, we tout the benefits of playing sports as a kid, as a young person. I could go on and on about the things they've taught me. And how often do we hear college athletes say, that coach helped prepare me for life, right? A college coach's job, at least in my opinion, maybe not every college coach approaches it this way, is not just to coach better athletes. It's to raise up the next generation of young men and women. They're away from home. They're away from their parents for the most part. And you're teaching them how to survive in what is a world that a lot of times sucks. What is a world that's going to hit you hard with adversity, because that's just the human experience. And so I really appreciate Flau J's mom and what she has to say about Kim being hard on Flau J, but I trust her because I know that she has my daughter's best interests at heart. All right, we'll get to a couple of calls, 855-212-4227, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I appreciate Kim. Don't always agree with her, but I respect her, I appreciate her, and I can see the track record that she's got going back for decades now in women's college basketball. So if you don't know about her, read about her. If you're going to read the LA Times, read something else, or listen to what she has to say, or watch her. She's not one-dimensional. Again, none of us are, but she is an amazing coach, and she's an amazing role model for young women. And she takes her job and her role in their lives very seriously. It's After Hours.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I think we're excited. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to go up against somebody you lost to, it brings a little more energy. But at this point in the tournament, every single team is good, whether you're playing West Virginia, whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing LSU. You prep the exact same way. You come in with the same exact mindset. And I think overall it's just going to be a really great game for women's basketball.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Agreed. Coming up on Monday night, it's a big Monday on ESPN with women's basketball regional finals. First, a rematch of last year's defending national championship between Angel Reese and LSU and Caitlin Clark and Iowa. And that's Caitlin talking about this rematch coming up on Monday night. And of course, we know that she plays to the crowd. She absolutely loves the big stage. And if we get her best game and Angel's best game and these two teams rise to the occasion, it could be just as dynamic as what we've seen from these teams all year.
Honestly, I think when I step on the court, like a calming sense comes over me. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I have, you know, 13 amazing teammates that have my back. And, you know, these are the moments you've worked so hard for. This is what you've put your, you know, the time in for in the gym all by yourself and with your teammates. And I guess it's just kind of like, go let your work shine.
Go let your work shine. Let the basketball speak for itself. And a lot of the other ancillary elements and commentary will tend to fade away if you've got that mental toughness. That's followed by the UConn Huskies on the women's side. And then USC with Lindsey Gottlieb, the head coach who joined us about a week and a half ago, and Juju Watkins, the incredible freshman who's doing this all for the first time. So it'll be a fun big Monday for women's college basketball to get the last two tickets punched to the Final Four. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page. TJ is listening in South Carolina. TJ, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
I was just wondering, if the men were described the same way as the LSU women were described, would there still be an outrage with the public or the reporters? But it's okay to describe the men this way because it's considered normal.
To describe men as debutantes?
Like Purdue or NC State, if they were called dirty debutantes or the male equivalent of a debutante, would there still be an outrage the way there is? There should be outrage over what was said about the LSU women. Mm-hmm. There should be outrage. This should not be allowed. We're in the 21st century. And to have this, I can't think of the word, you used it earlier, discrimination.
Right.
I gotcha. Is just, it boggles my mind to hear it, because it's like these women are being taught to be professionals in whatever field they go into, whether it's the WNBA or in life.
Mm-hmm.
The men are being trained the same way, whether it's in the NBA or in the business world. These people are being taught to be adults. And this totally seems to get lost between these ignorant reporters. I'm trying to keep it clean.
Thank you. I actually have no idea. I've never heard of this reporter before, and I've been in the business for a long time, so I don't know who he is. Never spoken to him. We have tons of reporters on our show. I have not seen if there's a statement from him. Actually, Jay, if you want to Google it just to see, the only reaction we've seen, of course, is the LA Times removes some of the terms that were offensive. But as to your first question, I would say while I don't know what the equivalent of dirty debutantes is, and to me, again, that's not only sexist, but there's an element of racism to it. I would say that if you would have a reporter who would use terms maybe about, it wasn't that long ago when there was a bit of a criticism about the use of a term posse or crew or something. Was it LeBron James? Was that who it was? Yeah. Somebody described him as having a posse, and there was quite a reaction to that. So I think it's about being careful what terms you use because they come with connotations. And in this case, debutantes is something that is really more about like the old South and when they used to have, you know, the parties and the great outfits and, you know, even going back to the days of Mansion and obviously slavery. But I don't think that was the term there. The dirty part, and it's an urban term that I'd never heard before when you put those parts together, it is highly offensive. I mean, it is ew. And I don't know whether or not the writer meant to use that term because he knew the Urban Dictionary version or if he's just clueless and used it because he was talking about LSU coming from the South, but then using kind of this good versus evil and this clean versus dirty. But even that is just gross. To describe young women as dirty, it is so offensive. So I understand why Kim Mulkey was outraged. And actually, it was interesting, too, because the UCLA coach and her team was featured in the article. The UCLA coach, she tweeted it, the link to it, without reading it, and then later heard the outrage, read the article, and was so mortified that she had shared it without reading it. So I guess that's a lesson learned for people who share things without actually knowing what's in them.
Well, to give a definition of debutante, a debutante is a 16-year-old girl that's usually given... there's a party, and it's her introduction into society.
To society, right. Agreed.
And it's usually her father, and it's a ball, and they're introduced into society to let, you know, them know who they are. Mm-hmm. And it happens in the North as well as the South. It just was more common in the South.
Right. And it came from Victorian England. Like, that's all. My mom and I read that kind of period literature, so we love it. But I'd never heard the term dirty debutantes before, ever. And I wasn't even going to Google it until Kim Mulkey mentioned it, and I was like, oh, gross. I don't even want to read the definition.
And the reporter,
No, don't tell us what it means.
He referred to dirty debutantes as saying the same thing as a dirty house cleaner. It doesn't make sense. They don't go together.
No. And again, if you Google that term, it's in the Urban Dictionary. So it's,
well, I don't do Urban Dictionary.
Right. No, I don't either. But I had to today just so I was informed. TJ, I would say that there probably would be the same. Now, it would depend if someone calls attention to it. Kim calling out the reporter and then focusing on it obviously created a much larger profile for it and forced the LA Times to take some of those words out. I don't know if it would have happened had she not done that, right? But it certainly was out there. The LA Times is a large publication. It's got a lot of readers.
But I feel she was justified in doing so.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Because she's defending her women. She's defending her program. She's
agreed.
Defending...
And she even said, I don't care what you say about me, right? I'm used to that. And I hope that this wasn't the case initially, that people just dismissed what she had to say because of what she had just said about the Washington Post reporter. And haven't read that column, don't know if it's a hit piece, don't know anything about that reporter either, other than others have said he's highly respected. But I wonder whether or not people just kind of dismissed it as, oh, this is another Kim Mulkey controversy, when actually I think she was far more justified in her reaction to the LA Times.
I think there should be more reporters like you who give both sides to the story.
I appreciate that, TJ.
Equal commentary on both sides.
I am trying. I will say that's a benefit of having started in news. Before I got into sports, I spent 5 years in news, and it taught me how to be an objective journalist when I need to. Thank you, TJ.
It's refreshing.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, thank you so much for listening.
All right, thanks. You have a good day.
You too. TJ in South Carolina, just kind of looking at both sides of it. And I would think if there was an article, not so much the good versus evil part, because to me, I don't think that was, I think it was about why this reporter described LSU as evil. It wasn't so much the good versus evil, because we talk about that with like villains and, you know, they're the number, I mean, I've even done shows before, the number one villains in sports. Generally, it's not kids. It's usually at the pro level. But it was why he described LSU as the villains and why he described them as dirty debutantes. Like, those are the parts that come across as so sexist and even racist when you read it. So I did read it, even though it was distasteful to me, too. I didn't like it. And I appreciate that Kim took this reporter to task. Now, Jay has looked it up, and he is telling me that the writer, his name is Ben Bolch. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but Ben Bolch, B-O-L-C-H, has been MIA on social media, or at least Twitter, on Sunday. So there's been no response. I wonder if we'll get an apology or a retraction or an explanation or anything of the sort. But at this point, it's just been the LA Times. Maybe they don't ask him to write again as a columnist or an editorial. So if you have those same racist undertones in an article about men, especially young people, I would think there would be the same blowback and backlash. But the difference is here is that Kim, once again, used her platform. And as she has said very clearly, she does not back down. And if I'm not mistaken, someone asked her about it in the postgame press conference. So she was ready to go. Because she got a question from someone in the audience, and then she went off on what she had to say. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, and then also our phone number, 855-212-4227. We will continue on with the college hoops, unless we have some other phone calls you want to weigh in. But we do have both NC State men and women into the Final Four. We could have the UConn men and women in the Final Four. Purdue is an incredible story. And we haven't yet talked about Alabama, so we can hit that next as the Tide, are you ready, roll into their first ever Final Four in men.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing, and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit yvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
It's basketball.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Minute gone by, second half, a one-point Clemson lead. Griffin drives the paint, kicks out wide open, left wing three, Sears, and he rims it in right in front of the Alabama bench. Here he comes up the floor, passes ahead to Griffin, left corner, pump fakes, kicks out straight away, Sears, deep three, got it!
Alabama up 9.
Here's right wing Griffin inside. Pringle was overplayed. Wide open, turns, drops it in, and he's fouled. What a defensive breakdown by Clemson. Inbound to Shefflin, and it is over. For the Crimson Tide, the City of Angels is the City of Dreams. Alabama has punched its ticket to Glendale and its first ever Final Four.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was quite the recovery and the rally for the Alabama Crimson Tide, trailing by 13 against Clemson, able to rally with a barrage of three-pointers. So you may have heard me mention that Duke missed its 10, let's see, no, not Duke, my fault. UConn missed its first 10 shots from beyond the arc before it rattled off 30 straight points against Illinois in the Elite Eight. All right, so go over 10 from beyond the arc. They're tied at 23, and then UConn settles in, and it's 30 consecutive points before the Illini know what hit them. They've been steamrolled. Well, against Clemson, Alabama misses its first 12 of 13 triples, right? So they are also cold from deep. But then once they got comfortable and once they settled in, it was bombs away. And that was how they were able to rally back in this game after trailing by double figures. The call there on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Mark Spears ends up with 7 three-pointers, and as a senior, and they've got a bunch of seniors on this team, as a senior, you can imagine the sweet redemption for this team that has worked so hard and has reached now its first ever Final Four.
Even though it's intense, you know, we play the game because we have fun with it, and to be in those moments, you dream as a little kid, and just to have fun with it, because you remember, just even though it's a business to go out there, and we still got to have fun with it.
I couldn't be more proud of a group of guys. We challenged them at the beginning of this tournament that we're going to have to pick up our defense, and our defense got significantly better, and they've just been all about winning.
So Alabama, a 4 seed, and generally you would think, oh, all right, that's still fairly high. And yes, it is coming out of the SEC, but first ever Final Four for this Crimson Tide program, which is huge for Nate Oates. And the idea that they were able to rally after being behind against Clemson, that's huge too, because it gives you confidence that even when you have a slower start or even when you fall off the pace, you're not out of it, you're not eliminated. It also reminds you that you have all the tools to be able to pull yourself back into it. It gives you that poise and that mental toughness at the next level. And I just think the idea of UConn and these other 3 schools is so interesting. You remember that old game, kids game, which one of these is not like the other? It was like, I don't know if it was a TV show or maybe it was part of the Sesame Street. It was a feature on Sesame Street, something along those lines. Anyway, UConn is the big bad, right? They can flex their muscles from now until the cows come home. Don't ask me where I got that from. I mean, there are cows in Connecticut. But anyway, they're flexing on you, right? They've got Donovan Klingon, who had a huge game in just 22 minutes against Illinois. They score 30 straight points. They can hit you outside. They can hit you inside. They're better than they were a year ago. And they're right now, to this point in the tournament, 2 wins away from a repeat. They are trouncing opponents by an average of almost 30 points per game. That's even better than last year. But then you've got 3 schools around them, and they've got great resumes, and these particular seasons have been world class. Purdue is a top seed, and they've got Zach Edey, who's a generational player, into their first Final Four since 1980. NC State, first one since 1983. And then you've got Alabama, who's never been there before. Wow. So it's pretty incredible. By the way, you end up with a Big East team in UConn, an ACC team in NC State. Of course, that's really cool. A Big Ten team in Purdue. And then you also have Alabama, the SEC. So it's the, I mean, this could be, well, I don't know if NC State's a football school. This could be a picture of what it might be like with the college football playoff and when it's expanded. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Giovanna in Dallas. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
I just wanted to comment on the LA Times deal. Mm-hmm. A person does not get a job writing for the LA Times not being able to comprehend or to know anything. So a lot of times people are appalled by things, but some people have gone through things, you know, the sexism and the racism so long that they're just numb. Mm. So, you know, sometimes we listen to people being appalled, fine. Check this out. The movie, The Devil Wears Prada with Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Can you imagine a movie that says The Devil Wearing Oxford? No. This is about The Devil Wearing Prada, and Meryl Streep was so great in that movie that if it were about a man, it wouldn't even have been a movie. You know? So, you know, a lot of stuff is just ridiculous. And a lot, like I said, a lot of people are appalled by stuff, and then some of us just sit back and just check it out and say, okay, we got some more people on board who are realizing things, you know, and realize it. Go, come on, girls, you know. And it's not about the coach of LSU.
Well, the article was, though, if you read it, the article was really, it really did attempt to destroy Kim Mulkey.
She put herself in between those haters and her players, which, like, a good coach, I got respect for because, and it's kind of like back in the day, if a Caucasian person would stand up for a black person, then, you know, you got people who would be all over that person and saying, oh, well, you're going to get it, because we weren't even about you. We were trying to get at this person, but you're going to stand in the middle, so you're going to get it worse than they would have gotten it.
Mm.
And I guess that's why people don't want other people to know the history of things, because we have decent people who would have a different outlook if they only knew. So, you know, it's all right. It's okay.
I do appreciate the fact that you're, I mean, it's true that many people are uninformed about it, but I just can't imagine he used that term without looking it up. I mean, here's the other thing about it, Giovanna. And I Googled it because I didn't know the urban meaning of it, but you also Google it and references to porn stars come up. Like, it's some kind of a porn organization, too. It's just, the whole thing is just gross.
You know what? I am clueless to that. I don't know anything about the urban name or the devil, what you call it, or whatever, the debutante. I don't know anything about that. That's why I say I'm one of those people who were just standing back saying, oh, okay, really? So, you know, I'm just as ignorant as a lot of folks about these terms and things. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But I know that there are people who, they're not ignorant to what they're doing, being hateful towards other people. They're not ignorant to that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
that's true. Good point. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, dear. You know, I'm with you.
All right. I appreciate that, Giovanna. Yeah. Have a great Monday. Oh, that's kind. Two women back to back on the show, which is great. And as much as I am not someone who generally waves the sexism flag, I mean, you all, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know my story. I've been in this business, what was a male dominant, I guess still radio, sports radio, still male dominated for years. And I mean, this has been my story forever, is having to fight what is inherent sexism. And so I don't always highlight it, but when there's an opportunity and it really bothers me, I definitely do. Paul is listening in North Carolina. Paul, you got about 2 minutes. Go.
Hey, Amy, good morning. Listen, before I get started, you know, this isn't the point of my calls. I love and support the last two calls you've had and the points they've brought. I completely support. But, Amy, what I'm calling for is I'm going to kind of catch you off guard. Between collectives, NIL, transfer portal, mm-hmm. instability, NCAA, we have no idea what the future of college sports, especially basketball, looks like. But if you look at the four teams represented in the Final Four, mm-hmm. their roster construction is completely unique. You have on the right side, you have Purdue with four super young players, one transfer, but a dominant big man.
Mm-hmm.
Against NC State, four grad transfers. On the left side, you have Alabama, four or five players are grads,
right.
versus UConn, versus They have three very young recruited players that came to UConn and two transfers. So very unique roster constructions. I was wondering if you think, if you've had time to think, what do you think best represents the future of what college basketball will look like? And if you think it's going to be a positive or a negative in the, of the success of the sport?
All right. I appreciate that. And you know what? If I don't get to all of it before the top of the hour, because we're about to hit the hard out, I will definitely continue this. But I do like that. Paul, thank you so much. I'm going to answer here in a second. I do think you've got one unique quality that we likely aren't to see again, which is so many seniors and grad players. And that's because of the COVID year. So a lot of these athletes were granted an extra year of eligibility, so they're older. And that's happening in other college sports too, where they're 24, 25-year-old players, which makes for a different flavor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.